The Grade 3 Conference, Lecture 17, The Hebrew Scriptures, Part 1. Let me begin with a caveat, which is that for many years, if my teaching, the Old Testament was called the Old Testament. And I use that term repeatedly to children when talking to parents about this and so on. So that really got into my habit body. And habits take a while to change. Since then, it has become more considerate, and rightfully so, to speak of this document not as something old in relationship to something new and possibly superior because it's newer. You know that story. Anyway, generally now, the proper way to address these stories is the Hebrew Scriptures or the Hebrew Bible. So I try my best to use that term, but sometimes Old Testament will slip out, and it's by no means meant to offend, and I apologize. Maybe I'll try to go through and edit it out if I catch it. But nonetheless, please excuse that. All right. So, more to the point. The Hebrew Scriptures. These are very special stories. And let's see how they are woven together with the nature of the third grade. Now, it's important for us to recognize something that I bring up in various conferences, which is that the odd grades and the even grades are very different. In Green Meadow Waldorf School, we would do performances of the Shepherd's Play for the students. The school was so large that there was no auditorium big enough in the community to fit everyone. So we would simply divide the school in half. We'd have the odd grades come for the first performance, and the even grades come for the second performance. And I can assure you that though we knew we were working from the same script and working with the same director, you would have thought that there were two completely different plays to be shown. The odd-numbered classes, very quiet. You could feel their attention riveted on the very serious scenes, particularly the child's birth and the rejection by the innkeepers. And at the end, quiet, subdued, polite applause. The even grades, they couldn't wait, of course, for the shepherds, and their laughter was uproarious, and they laughed at the most inappropriate moments. And at the end, when they applauded, there had to be teachers running around the hall, getting them to stop stamping their feet in tandem with the loud and enthusiastic applause they were lavishing on the performers. The odd and the even. The Chinese say that odd numbers are the numbers of heaven, and even numbers are the numbers of the earth. We could put it another way in regard to the Waldorf School, which is that the odd grades tend to bring more introspection, more of an inwardizing of what's learned, and the even grades tend to be more extroverted, in which the children are applying what they've learned or even giving back to the teacher a seed that he or she may have planted, not necessarily the year before, but in one of the odd grades, 2 years before or 4 years before, something like that. Very interesting interrelationship of those years. And Rudolf Steiner seems to acknowledge this because he made the curricular of the odd grades very integrated, and the even grades have curricula that are much more fragmented, that leave you greater leeway and freedom in how you're going to put it all together, Whereas the odd grades, you feel you want to be very, very careful about changing anything, about adding something new or subtracting something. So I think this reaches a certain stage of perfection in grade 7, where, as you can see, everything streams out of the Renaissance, and not so bad in grade 3 either, where everything really refers back to or is built upon the foundation of the stories of the Hebrew Scriptures. So, here again, for those of you in charter schools and other public Waldorf settings, be very, very careful about feeling, well, I don't really have a connection to these stories, or maybe it's kind of church and state violation, or I don't want to upset anyone, or whatever. I'll just take that out and I'll teach the rest of the curriculum. There's plenty there. I remember one teacher in a charter school who decided to make the year about Johnny Appleseed rather than Moses, let's say, or Abraham. I would be very, very cautious about that. That's being euphemistic. I would say you can't do it. If you're in a school that says you cannot teach the Hebrew Scriptures, why don't you quit and go somewhere else? There are plenty of job openings. Probably even this summer, you could still get a third grade position somewhere if that's what you want to teach. Really, it's just it's not the same thing. It's a book without words. It's a ship without a helm and so on. You know, it's just a shell if you're not doing these stories. So that's one aspect. Third grade and the Hebrew Scriptures are the same thing. They are completely interwoven. And the stories themselves are, of course, less and less told to children. They're not there in the public school world in the way they were in the good old days, or bad old days, depending on how you see that. When I went to a public high school in Brooklyn, New York, in the early 1960s, we would, at every assembly, once a week, an honored student would stand up before the other, I forget what it was, 4,000 or 5,000 students or something like that, 6,000 students, and read from one of the Psalms. That was just a given. That you read from the Bible, what could be more edifying and better for students than that experience? So, of course, that is unlikely to have been in your realm of experience, and therefore you have less of a connection to it, and it's less likely, less and less likely, that the children in your class have a strong religious life at home, or even our regular churchgoers or synagogue goers or anything like that. So these stories are much newer to children than they were in Steiner's day, and therefore require a greater effort to draw out of oneself as a teacher and greater sensitivity in bringing them to children, and also greater sensitivity in letting the parents know that this is what you're going to do. I would, however, say to you that it is not only worth it, it is an absolute necessity. When I trained teachers at Sunbridge and also Rudolf Steiner College, I would often be asked by students who came from Kenya or Thailand, or China, well, you know, my children don't relate to the Norse gods. I'd say, well, find the equivalent in China. Well, you know, my children don't have any kind of connection to stories of saints. Well, see what you can do in Africa, see what you can bring. But when they would say, what about the stories of the Hebrew Scriptures? there my answer was always the same. There is no equivalent. There are no stories from any other culture on earth that give children what the Hebrew Scriptures give. They are for all children on the entire earth, in all schools, regardless of ethnicity, race, religion, whatever, you name it, political affiliation. These are far and away the most important stories that you tell the children in all the 8 grades, in all the 12 grades, for that matter. They're more important than any other single work of literature. They're more important than all of the history that you tell. Okay? And I'm not saying that because I'm a practicing Jew or anything like that. My path happens to be Christian. But these stories are absolutely central to the development of all humanity. And they will remain important for some time to come. Not forever, but they still provide a strong foundation in our culture. So, I would say to you, take them very, very seriously. I'm going to come back to this when I go over some of the controversies that these stories raise nowadays, no surprise. But I would just want to say that if you know in advance that, you know, you're going to have a hard time with this, or you're not really interested, or you grow up with this stuff, you know, being shoved down your throat in a fundamentalist Sunday school or something like that, then maybe there's still time you should reconsider if you want to teach third grade. I never would say that at a conference. I mean, what a horrible thing. But that is how important these stories are. And I can assure you, if you go anywhere else to any other summer conference, you're not going to hear that at all. They're just taught like, well, fairy tales in first grade, saint stories and fables in second grade, Hebrew scripture, you know. It's like everything's the same, it's all homogenized. It's not at all. These stories have their own particular biography in the development of consciousness of humanity, and they are critical for our time. And I'm not just kind of saying that without proving it. I hope that the next lectures, in which you're going to hear a great deal more about the Hebrew Scriptures than you might in any other venue, I hope that this will serve, as you listen to them, to perhaps give you second thoughts about your own lack of interest in these stories, or even your antipathy towards them, a perfectly normal and healthy reaction in our time, which is especially why they are so important, because of the antipathy that they raise in us modern people. So we will go on with this, and I want to bring up some other aspects of the importance of these stories before we go into the actual details of what to tell and how to tell it.